I speak in the name of the one true and living God, who is Father, who is Son, and who is Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I want to begin with a story from a video clip that I came across recently. It concerns a well-known magician called Penn Jillette. He is one half of the duo Penn and Teller that you might have heard of. I think coincidentally, they may well have been on the Jonathan Ross show on UTV recently. Well, the important part as we begin the story is that Penn Jillette is a well-known atheist, and he's quite vocal about being an atheist. Well, in the video, Jillette talks about a time that a man, after one of his shows, gave him a Bible. It is with the utmost respect that Jillette talks about this man. He was well-dressed, he was kind, and he was full of compliments about the show that he had watched. The man looked Jillette in the eye, and he handed him a copy of the New Testament. Now, although the encounter did not change Jillette's mind about the existence of God, or Jesus, it prompted him to make some profound points about evangelism, about telling people about Jesus, that I think the church and Christians can learn a lot from. They are challenging. His most profound statement in the video that I watched was this: how much do you have to hate somebody to believe everlasting life is possible and not to tell them? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not to tell them? Penn the atheist is saying that Christians, if they believe the gospel, must be willing to share the gospel. If Christians believe in who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, and what Jesus offers, forgiveness, grace, eternal life, then they must be willing with a sincerity and a passion to share that message with everyone. The excuse that we all use for evangelizing is that it would make it socially awkward for us. Penn finds that utterly ridiculous. He says, if you believed a truck was going to hit somebody and you didn't warn them, what sort of person would you be? Or if you believed a truck was going to hit somebody and they didn't listen, there would come a certain point where you would take things into your own hands. Forget about being socially awkward. If someone is going to die, if someone is in danger, you would do whatever you could to get them out of danger. Jillette even admits warning someone about the danger of hell is even more important than warning someone about being hit by a truck. The implication of what he says is this: if you would tackle someone to keep them from being hit by a truck, why wouldn't you at least risk social embarrassment to warn others about hell and tell others about God's mercy, forgiveness, and grace? Well, last week we began a new sermon series from the fifth book of the New Testament, the Acts of the Apostles. It's written by the Apostle Luke, and it tells the story of the early church, the small group of pearly resource believers who are given the mission from Jesus before he ascends back into heaven to bring the gospel message into their communities, their nations, and across the world, from Judea, Samaria, and across the world. And this small group of believers trust the promise of Jesus that God, via the Holy Spirit, would empower them and be with them as they undertake this commission and work. We left chapter 1 last week with the disciples electing a new member, Matthias, to replace Judas, and they are waiting for this gift from God, the Holy Spirit, to arrive. They didn't have long to wait, For as we pick up in chapter 2, we read that they were all together in one place, when suddenly a violent wind came from heaven that filled the whole house. We live next to the forest in Virginia, and in the recent storms through the night, you could hear the wind rushing and whistling through the trees. Perhaps it was something like that. As they were gathered, the wind rushes through the place where they are, and we are told they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they begin to speak all sorts of languages. God has given them the gift and the ability to communicate the gospel truth to all peoples and all nations. Then, of course, a crowd gathers outside the house. And when they are gathered, they hear the people babbling in all these different languages. And the immediate thought that they have is that they have come to some sort of house party. They've been on the wine all night. I wonder, did you see the clip during the week of Philip Schofield and Holly Willoughby? They had been at the annual award ceremony the night before, and the photographs filled the papers of the glamour that they were dressed in. And as they presented this morning program the next morning, they were still dressed in their party gear. They had been out all night, perhaps even a little worse for wear, as they presented the program. The people who gathered around the house where the Holy Spirit comes upon this group of believers thought that they were drunk, that they had been on the wine all night. But as we read on, we know that they haven't been on the drink. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, begins to address the gathered crowd. He is empowered to speak boldly to them about the risen Jesus. And just before our passage, which we read today, this is what Peter says. And again, I encourage you to follow on the weekly sheet or on the Pew Bible. He says in verses 29 to 36 that they essentially are not drunk, but that they are here to tell people about Jesus, that the Messiah has been resurrected, that he has not been abandoned to the realm of the dead, that his body has not been decayed, but God has raised this Jesus to life, and they are witnesses of it, that Jesus has been exalted to the right hand of God, and that God has given them the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, that they can be assured that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. It's an incredibly powerful piece of speaking. God has sent Jesus. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus rose again from the dead victorious. Jesus is alive. And Jesus sits at God's right hand in the highest place of honor. Jesus is to be your Lord and Messiah. And it has a huge effect on the people gathered, as Peter speaks with boldness. As we pick up on today's portion of Acts 2, we learn at least three things. Do follow along from verse 37 on the weekly sheet, or as I've said, in the Pew Bible. The first thing we learn is that the gospel message is an incredibly powerful message. It is relevant then and relevant now. It is a world-changing and a life-changing message then, and it is a world-changing, community-changing, and life-changing message now. Peter tells the people gathered about Jesus, and the response, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. The message goes to the very deepest place of their lives. So the second thing we learn is that once the gospel message convicts people, it cuts to the heart. A response and an action is required. Once we understand ourselves as who we are before God, sinners, Once God's Spirit convicts us about our need of God, it cuts us to the heart, and a response and an action is required. In our passage, the people who have been listening to Peter ask him what they should do, what is required. And in verse 38, Peter replies, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins." Having heard this gospel message, Peter tells the gathered people that they must turn back to God, and they must bring their lives afresh to him, redeemed and forgiven. They must turn back to God and away from the things that bring them and separate them from God. And as they do, they are redeemed and forgiven. And what we learn is that it is the job of the church, of Christians through word, deed and action, to tell people about Jesus. But it is never the place of the one telling to force or guilt people into believing. Our job is just to faithfully present the story and to pray for a response. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to convict people so that they may come back, recognizing who they are before Jesus, sinners, and they may choose to follow Jesus through faith and be saved. Ultimately, it comes down to a personal choice for myself, for each and all of us, to accept what is said, to turn to God, to believe, or to reject it out of hand. The final thing we learn is that God is faithful when we are bold and faithful to him. Verse 41 tells us that through Peter's bold preaching, about 3,000 people were added to their number that day. Isn't that somewhere around the population of Virginia? In one day, it's mind-boggling that 3,000 people came to believe in Jesus. And it reminds us and tells us that when we share the gospel, which is attractive and life-changing, through our words, through our deeds, through our actions, God will be faithful. His body, the church here in this group of parishes, will grow and grow and grow. I am absolutely convinced of that. When we are faithful to God, God will be faithful to us. As we leave Acts 2, the overall thing that we learn in terms of our church and evangelism, in terms of the starting illustration, is that telling a people about Jesus is not an option. It is a command from God himself. If we in our own lives have responded to the gospel message, if in the life of the church we truly believe in the gospel message, then that will be at the heart of everything that we do. It will be our foundation. It will be our driver. It will be our passion in whatever way we can, through every organization that we have, every time that we engage with our community, every time we engage with those that we meet in our day-to-day lives, through our words, deeds and actions, to tell people about Jesus so that many may come and be saved. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, it is easy to exist in a closed community. It is easy to exist in a very comfortable way as the people of God. And yet your word today and in many other places makes it clear to us that we are to reach out with love and compassion, that we are to tell people about Jesus. And my prayer that is in our own lives and in the lives of those that come into contact with us, that they would be convicted by the Holy Spirit, and that they would choose to follow the living God and know what it is to gain the gift of eternal life and to be saved. And we pray all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.